This is Chaitanya Bhagavad class 2010, May 5th, continuing chapter 20. This ecstatic pastime is Srivasangam. Lord Chaitanya has taken on the mood of Narayan, Narayan Bhav, Sarvavatari Bhagavan Gauranga, and Murari Gupta in one of his other forms, he's Garuda. So Murari Gupta became Garuda. He's also Hanuman, the carrier of Ram, and he's also Garuda, the carrier of Narayan, Vishnu. And afterwards, after this pastime, all the devotees in Srivasangam, they were quite amazed at the whole display of ecstatic bhavas between the two of them, which we've already discussed. And now we're on text 129, chapter 20. Hate vyate murari padila bumitale pakalila prabhur charan Pakalila Prabhura Charana Prema Jale. Murari Gupta immediately fell to the ground and washed Mahaprabhu's lotus feet with his tears of love after this wonderful exchange they had. Sukriti Murari Kande Darya Charan Gupta Kole Kari Kande Sri Shachinandan. That most pious Murari Gupta cried as he held the feet, the lotus feet of the Lord, Darya Charan. And Sri Shachinandan cried as he picked up Murari and embraced him. This is the wonderful loving exchanges with the Lord. Jai Prasada Murari Guptere Prabhukare Tahabanche Ramaja Ananta Shankare. The mercy Mahaprabhu bestowed on Murari Gupta is desired by Lakshmi, Brahma Nantan Shankar. He Sava Devata Chaitanya Bina Nahi Inhara Abina Krishna Vede E Kahe. These demigods, Ananta Shankar, Brahma, etc., they're not separate from Lord Chaitanya. The Vedas declare they are non different from Krishna. It's parts and parcels, expansions. Se Gora Chandra Shesha Rupe Mahidare Chaturmukha Rupe Se Prabhu Shishtikare. Lord Gora Chandra sustains the universe in his form as Shesha, and the same Lord creates in his form as Chaturmukh Brahma. Sanghare O Gora Chandra Trilochana Rupe Apanare Stutikare Apanara Muke. In the form of the three-eyed Shiva, Trilochan, Gora Chandra annihilates the creation. Samhare takes everything away. Samhare. He personally offers prayers to himself. Lord Shiva offers prayers to Lord Chaitanya and also to Krishna. Binanahi, 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 bhedanahi, esakal deve, esakal deva chaitanyara, Paraseve. All these demigods are not different or separate from Lord Chaitanya. For altogether they are serving his lotus feet, Chaitanya Paraseva. He Sakaladeva Chaitanya Paraseva. Very beautiful poetry. He Sakaladeva Chaitanya Paraseva. Sakal means sarva. All the devas are serving the lotus feet of Chaitanya. Pakshimatra jarilai Chaitanya jara Chaitanjara Nam Seyo Satya Jabeka Chaitanjara Dham. If even a bird chants Lord Chaitanya's name, Chaitanya, it will certainly attain Lord Chaitanya's abode. Now this is the power of chanting Lord Chaitanya's name is so merciful. Chaitanya Nam Pakshimatra. Siddhanta Saraswati's Tika. A bird with undeveloped consciousness, if he chants Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya, he will achieve great auspiciousness because of performing spiritual activities. The spiritual name is not unrelated to the Lord, like ordinary mundane sounds. Offenseless vibration of such names falls in the category of Namavas. Liberation of even such birds is inevitable. Liberated souls attain the spiritual abode of the Supreme Lord. Sanyasiyo jari nahi Mane Gora Chandra Janiha Sedushta Gana Janma Janma Anda. Even though one may be a sannyasi, if he does not accept Gora Chandra, then that crooked person remains blind birth after birth. So now there's some shift in the storyline. Our illustrious author, Vedavyas Vrindavan Das Thakur, he is about to discuss many verses here at the conclusion of chapter 20 about sannyasis, blasphemous or bogus or materialistic or Mayavadi sannyasis. So then the reader may have some question about that. He says, sannyasi nahiman Gaurachandra, nahiman, amanina manidena, man, if he doesn't have any respect or regard for Gaurachandra, then he's dushtagana janma janma anda, dushtagan. He has all bad qualities, dushtagan. He's crooked, he's a member of a crooked group. And birth after birth he'd be blind, anda. Jena tapas vira veshe take patojar e mata nindaka sannyasi durachar. Such a blasphemous miscreant sannyasi is no better than a thief in a dress of a renunciate. Tapasvira veshe. Tapasvi. Tapasvi, everyone knows. Tapasya. Tapasvi. Tapasvira veshe. He's dressed as a sannyasi. But he's take bhatojara. He's just a bhatojara means he's a thief. E mata nindak sannyasi durachara. Because he's a nindak. He's a saruninda, first offense to the holy name. He's a blasphemer. Durachara. Achara, behavior is far from him. Dura means far. Durachara means bad. He's bad, bad behavior. Not a very good behavior. Durachara. Surachara and durachara. Nindaka sannyasi bhato jari nahi ved, dvite nindaka bhara drohi kahi ved. There is no difference between a nindak sannyasi, a blasphemous sannyasi, and a thief. Yet of the two, the sannyasi is worse. Because the thief can get punished and rectified, but sannyasi is very difficult. So now the devoted reader of Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 20, he's heard all these wonderful stories, different incarnations manifested by Lord Chaitanya. In the house of Srivas Thakur, and this wonderful story of the interaction of Garuda and Narayan, Maraigupta and Gauranga. Now this shift into this sannyasi, and it seems that the sweetness of this loving exchanges of falling at feet and bathing Lord Chaitanya's feet with tears, and Shachinandan like a mother, he uses the word Shachinandan, the son of Shachi, which implies motherly affection. In the previous verse we heard that Vrindavan Das Thakur, in the exchanges of Murari, he says, Sri Shachinandan, that beautiful son of Shachi. So this invokes that motherly bhav. So he's like a mother to Maraigupta, a mother to all his devotees, very affectionate, caring, loving, embracing. So he reaches down and says, oh, don't cry at my feet over all the mercy you receive, my dear Murari. Please take my loving embrace, chest to chest. So it's very sweet and tender. All of a sudden now the gears shift. It's like you're going in fourth gear down the freeway and suddenly you put in reverse. You know? The whole gearbox just goes... And your transmission falls out on the freeway. Because you don't put it in reverse when you're going fourth gear. So it seems like, wait a minute, it's reverse gears here. He's changed gears. It's getting bitter. Durachar and nindak and thief and bogus and yasi and blind birth after birth. Well, it doesn't sound very sweet and tender and charming and loving and intimate and confidential. Well, what's going on here? It's because two things. First of all, the author knows what he's about to write about. The author certainly knows the future of his own book. He has chapter outlines. Like any author, he'll make outlines of the chapter. Or maybe this is just flowing, because he says his book was just written. This book, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, is not written by me, it's written by the Lord. I just held the pen and Lord Chaitanya dictated. So it's a samadhi bhashya, just a flow of his own samadhi and gaur lila. dictated by the Lord. He simply held the pen and the Lord moved the pen and wrote the verses to glorify his devotees and his own pastimes. But nevertheless, he seems to have some idea, because this appears to be a prelude or a foreshadowing of the next chapter. Because chapter 21 is entitled "The Mahabhru Chastises Devananda Pandit." Now, Devananda Pandit, if you know something about his biography, Vrindavan Das Thakur describes in the next chapter that he was a tapasvi. Tapasvi means he was a great renunciate. And he was living just like a sannyasi. He was a pundit, but he took a lifelong vow of celibacy. So that's sannyasi. Sannyasi is celibate. So it seems to indicate that this discussion of sannyasis as a category, nindak sannyasis, blasphemous sannyasis that are thieves dressed as renunciates, and they'll suffer, this is foreshadowing of a description of a leela that's about to take place of this tapasvi who was living like a sannyasi. Devananda Pandit was like a sannyasi, and of course you know, we'll hear about how he blasphemed the devotees. Although he was a speaker of Bhagavatam, he was speaking Bhagavat Saptaha, and Srivas Thakur went there, and then his disciples threw him out of the assembly because he was crying at some verses he heard from Bhagavat. The Bhagavat Ras moved his heart in such a way, he displayed different sattvic bhavs, which apparently disturbed the Pandit Devananda, and the disciples of his responded by ejecting Srivas Thakur rather unceremoniously, which was offensive, and he was quiet, didn't stop them. Well, this shows how the guru is responsible for the offenses of his disciples. He should check them if they're propagating misconceptions or running around glorifying their guru in the wrong way, and everyone's hearing about it and getting disturbed. So the guru should stop his disciples and say, "Listen, what are you saying? This is, people are getting disturbed by your false advertising or whatever." It goes on sometimes. So this is what's happening here, is that as in any great preacher, generally we discuss things in terms of tattva-vichar and lila-vichar, the consideration of tattva or spiritual truths or siddhantas, and then pastimes or illustrations. We make a point. I can make some point, and someone, a student listening, say, "Now, professor, I understand you mentioned this point. Can you give some explanation of this? Can you give some example of this point? You just talked about greed. Can you give an example of greed?" "Yes." Or something. Then he gives you some, by some pastime or some example of some character through history or whatever. So he's telling the tattva. These are the wrong sannyasis. And then we're hearing all about this tattva vichara, consideration of tattva. And then we're going to meet someone that's exhibiting all these qualities. There's going to be a leela to back it up, the pastime to back up his statements. "Oh, what is this? A nindak sannyasi, blind offender, he's speaking Bhagavatam and offending devotees. I never met anybody like that. What is that?" "Oh, they're all wonderful." Well, we will in the next chapter, which is coming very soon. Text 141. Or text 140. Vrindavan Das Thakur quotes Naradiya Purana. "Prakatam patita shreyan yeko yat yada svayam bhakavriti svayam papa patayat yaparanapi." A fallen person is superior to a sinful hypocrite because he goes to hell alone. Whereas the hypocrite takes others to hell with him. Hare Krishna. Another verse. "Haranti dasyavo kutyam fimo yashtrer nrinam danam charitrer ati tikshnagrer vader evam bhakavrata varivam bhakavrat." Plunderers steal people's wealth in solitary places by threatening them with weapons. Whereas hypocrites steal people's wealth by bewildering them with heart-piercing words. Vad, evam bhakavrata. They have this bhakavrata. You know this bhaka? Bhakasura, the crane. He's this water bird. He's a fisher bird. Very sharp, long legs. So he can go in his hip boots, go fishing in his hip boots. He has these long waterproof legs, and he can walk into these lakes and streams, into the shallow areas, and stand there very quietly like a meditating Paramahamsa. Because he's white in color, like a swan. But he doesn't eat lotus stems like a swan. He eats fish, smelly, stinky meat and flesh. He's the same color, but his eating habits are slightly different. Swans entangle themselves, Rajahamsa. They entangle themselves in the stems of the lotus flowers, put their necks down and wrap them around. That's their sport. And they eat those stems. They're very healthy things. Japanese eat lotus stems as a sabji. Apparently they're quite healthy, actually. And lotus seeds, we all know that's called makhana. It's like a popcorn. Looks like Indian popcorn. Makhana, lotus seeds. Puffed lotus seeds. Very tasty item to offer to Krishna. The buck is white like him. He's in the water like him. He's not gliding around. He's just standing there. But he appears like, looks comparatively, the swan looks passionate as he's moving here and there, gliding around. Movement means passion. And he's just standing in one place quietly, silently, eyes half closed, looking at the water, waiting for some shadow to come by of a fish. And thong! Pierces that body of the fish with a sharp razor-like beak, and then flies off to a tree and has his lunch. So this piercing beak is the bhakavrat, that taking a vow to that piercing beak is a piercing mouth. Vad bhakavrat, someone who speaks with heart-piercing words. These hypocrites, they pierce the hearts of their special words. Bhagavatam 12:338, it says, Shudra pratigrahishyanti tapo vesho pajivana dharmam bhakshyant yadharmagya adiru yottamasanam. Shudras will dress as sannyasis and accept charity. It says ascetics, tapovesh, accept charity for their livelihood. Those who are ignorant of religious principles will occupy the seat of the acharya and teach religious principles. Prabhupada tells an interesting story about this when he was a young boy, or maybe a young man in Calcutta. He said nearby his house there was one shudra living there, rickshaw puller. And he would go out and pull a rickshaw and make a couple paisas here and there, not much. And then during the day he would dress up as a sannyasi. He had five or six kids in his house, rickshaw wall, and he would take the vase, saffron vase, red vase of a sannyasi, and he'd take a begging bowl and go door to door, beg alms from everyone, collect vegetables and grains and money. Then he would come back and Prabhupada saw through the window of his house, he saw him changing his sannyas vase and putting on his t-shirt and Levi's or his jeans. And he saw this shudra, rickshawala, was posing, directly dressing as a sannyasi to beg alms. So even Prabhupada saw such a thing. Shudra pratigrahishyanti tapovesh. Bhalare aisai loka tapasvi dekite sarunindishuni mari jaya bale mate. People go to see ascetics in good faith, tapasvis. But when they hear them blasting saintly persons, they are ruined. That's very interesting in the upcoming pastime because now he's using the word tapasvi and later he uses the same word to describe Devananda when he's describing the Charitra of Devananda Pandit in chapter 21, which is coming. He says that he was a tapasvi, and he said, Brahmachari Vrata, lifelong vow of Brahmachari. He was an ascetic. It's interesting, they say when, and the next verse is telling that, when you hear a blasphemy, you should immediately leave a place. So in one sense, the students of Devananda who ejected Srivas Thakur from the assembly where Devananda was speaking Bhagavatam, they were doing Srivas a favor. They were taking him away from the assembly of the blasphemer. Although that itself was the blasphemy. But Saruninda Shunilesh Sukriti Hayakshay Janma Jama Janma Janma Arapata Vere Ekai. By hearing blasphemy of saintly persons, one's piety is exhausted. The Vedas declare that such people live in hellish conditions, birth after birth. Saruninda Shunile Sukriti Hayakshaya. We hear Saruninda, then our Sukriti, our Punya, our reading of Bhagavatam and all the good things we do, Bhakti Punya, Bhakti Sukriti gets dissolved, wiped away. People go to see a set in the first 143. People go to see tapasvis in good faith. But if they hear blasphemy of saintly persons, they're ruined. This often happens in the modern times. This is written 500 years ago by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So many times a theme comes up about blasphemy, which of course is the theme of the next chapter also, about Devananda's blasphemy of Srivas Thakur. This is the prelude where he's talking about the tattva of some generic blasphemers and generic sannyasi nindaks, and what happens to them, what happens to anyone who hears from them, and how they suffer life after life, and blind, and this and that. And they're worse than thieves, and hypocrites worse than a thief or a plunderer. And then he says, oh, and by the way, now let me tell you the story of someone who fits the bill. That will be next chapter. This is the foreshadowing or introduction, you could say. Basically, this is the introduction to the next Leela. Leela of Devananda Pandit and Srivas Thakur. The Leela of Devananda Pandit offending Srivas Thakur, which is chapter 21, which is forthcoming. And we see that nowadays, if people go to visit some sannyasi, they say, oh, he's a good devotee, you should go hear from him. And then you go there in good faith because you're recommended by someone. And then they say, oh, ISKCON this, that. You go to the Gaudiya Math and they say something about some ISKCON sannyasis or this or that. And then you go to ISKCON and they say something about some Gaudiya Math sannyasis or gurus or the Babaji's. It's just one way, one side or the other. There's always some, there's a lot of criticism in the atmosphere. It's inevitable. It's a great, you're considered a great spiritual hero in Kali Yuga if you can live your days without blaspheming someone. It's a great accomplishment. You're the Vachu Begum, Jiva Urapasa, Manasakrota Begum. If you can control your begums of the mind and not blaspheming, that's like a great victory in this Kali Yuga. Purport. On the pretext of compromise, many people remain silent after hearing blasphemy of Sadhu, Guru, and Vaishnav. Such people fall into hellish conditions for many lifetimes. All their good fortune becomes exhausted. Bhagavatam 10:74-40 says, Nindam Bhagavata Shrinvam Tatparasya Janasyava Tato na paitiya sopi yat yada sukritach chutaha. Anyone who fails to immediately leave the place where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. So this is the Mukhya Praman, Bhagavat Praman, Amala Praman. It's also mentioned extensively in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, number 265, in that section. If you want to study further in Bhakti Sandarbha. I remember in 1970s, 74 and 75, we were in. In 75 we joined, and then we spent some time that summer, two months or so, we were in, went from L.A., we were sent to San Francisco to it as a group of bhaktas to help the construction of the Rath Yatra cart, which we didn't know much about. We heard about it, we saw pictures of it. We had just joined in Gaur Purnim in 75 in L.A., and the only Rath Yatra in America was in San Francisco. There was no other Rath Yatra. Maybe, I don't know, New York came later, 77. But the first Rath Yatra, as you know, in the whole Western world was in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park or somewhere. And so Jayananda was kind of like Mr. Rath Yatra. So he was building that cart in 1975. Or maybe just putting it together, I forget. But we were painting it and helping him. Living on the construction site, living on the cart with the carts, commuting sometimes to Berkeley to the temple. Or maybe it was in San Francisco, I forget. Back and forth. And we had some time to be with Jayananda Prabhu, which was our good fortune. And he had this characteristic, if a group of devotees, godbrothers, were speaking, and he was there, and devotees were talking something from Krishna book, or this demon, that demon, whatever. We used to talk about these demons getting killed and stuff. It's kind of like we're really into that fighting mode from the West. And seemed to be more relishable for young men and American men. And we like to hear about our hero Krishna doing heroic activities. Everyone wants a superhero, and Krishna became the superhero of all the brahmacharis. And it was just fun to hear about him knocking off this, slapping this demon down and that demon down. Because we ourselves are facing so many demons in America, trying to do sankirtan and book distribution and just exist in that atmosphere of non-devotees and atheistic people that were against everything we represented. They're all meat eaters and drunkards and womanizers, and we were vegetarians and quite the opposite. It was a little struggle, difficulty. So we were talking, and somehow the conversation switched from Krishna to something mundane, which it often happens. And some devotee would bring up the subject of another devotee and start maybe blaspheming or making some offensive statements or derogatory statements. And he would turn around and Jayananda was gone. He just became invisible. He had some kind of mystic city where he could become Anima City, smaller than the smallest, and just disappear silently and quietly, with so quietly and unobtrusively or clandestinely or whatever that no one even noticed. We were so embroiled in our own misconceptions and blaspheming with this devotee and ganging up on this devotee in terms of ideas and exchanges. Oh yeah, this, that. So what, Jayananda? Oh, where's Jayananda? He was here a minute ago. So he was rather famous for this, and no one really knew how much he knew automatically how to behave, because if one has devotion, and devotion is his ultimate guru. Bhakti yourself is his guru and inner guide and director. So he always seemed to know what the right thing to do was, and he did it. So he left the place, he didn't stay around. Bhatto jare sabha matra eka janme mare, janme janme kshane kshane, nindake samhare. Thieves suffer for one lifetime, but blasphemers suffer continuously, life after life. Hateva nindaka sannyasi bhatujar haiteo ananta durachar. Therefore, the two, the blasphemous sannyasi is unlimitedly more sinful than a thief. You're really playing out this analogy of the sannyasi and the thief. Abrahma stambhadi sabha krishnera vaibhav. Ninda matra Krishna rushta kahi shastra sab. From Brahma down to the lowest living entity, all are manifestations of Krishna's energies. Therefore, the scriptures declare that blasphemy makes Krishna angry. So whether you blaspheme Brahma or an ant, that Krishna will become angry. Krishna rushta. And become angry. Anindaka haiye, haiye, sakriti Krishna bale, satya satya Krishna tare udari bahile. Krishna will certainly deliver anyone who chants his names without offense or blasphemy. Satya satya, certainly, certainly. Udhar, udhariba. Krishna's udhar, his compassion, his mercy, his welfare will fall upon one who carefully chants Krishna's name, who chants Krishna, Krishna without blasphemy. If you behave correctly, you get everything. If you misbehavior ruin everything. One who renounces blasphemy of saints and then chants the name of Krishna even once can easily attain the mercy of Krishna. But Namaparadis commit offenses at the lotus feet of the spiritual master by blaspheming saintly persons. And they thus become offenders at Krishna's feet by blaspheming the spiritual master. What to speak of achieving love of God, which is the fruit of chanting Hare Krishna. By blaspheming Krishna, they gradually become bound by 8 ropes. And as a result of committing offenses to the holy names, they are not even able to achieve religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. It's bound by 8 ropes. I don't know what the 8 ropes are, but it sounds like the Yamadutas. They're carrying ropes, and there's 3 or 4 of them. They have a couple ropes each. Whatever it is, it doesn't sound good. Text 149. No one wants to be bound. We're supposed to be nityamukta. Nityamuktas. We don't want to be nityabuddhas. We want to get unbound. Chare vere padaya o jari nindakare janma janma kumbi pake dubiyase mare. If even after studying the 4 Vedas, chare vere padaya, one indulges in blaspheming ninda, he suffers birth after birth in kumbi pake. Well, that's not a good idea. That's where the chicken, where the Kentucky Fried Chicken people go. All those Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken lovers, they go to Kumbhi Paka and they fry in huge karais, huge pots of oil. They get deep fried in ghee or something, oil. So the blasphemers, even they study the 4 Vedas, they get cooked in oil like a roasted chicken. not so auspicious. Text 150. Bhagavata padiya o karabhuti nash nityananda nindakare haive sarva nash. Even after studying the Bhagavat, one's intelligence may be ruined. If he blasphemes Nityananda, he'll be vanquished. E navadripe gora chandra prakash ne mone nindaksava se satyavilas. Gorachandra manifested his pastimes in Navadvip. Yet blasphemers do not accept such eternal pastimes. Satyavilas, eternal vilas. Chaitanya charane jara ache mati gati. Janma janma hai jena tanhara samhati. May I achieve the association of those who whose desires and activities are dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya charan. Achi mati gati. Their mati, their intelligence, the goal of their intelligence, the goal of their discrimination. Mati gati. The aspiration of all their intellectual faculties is to attain it. Chaitanya Charan. The service of Chaitanya. Ashta Siddhi Yukta Chaitan Jete Bhakti Shunya Kabo Jaina Nadekon Save Papi Hina Punya. May I never see the face of a sinner who is devoid of piety and devotion to Sri Chaitanya, even if he has Ashta Siddhis, 8 mystic perfections. Murari Guptere Prabhu Santwana Karya Chalila Apanagare Harashitahaya. After solacing Murari Gupta, so now that was kind of like a foreshadowing, now back to Murari Gupta. After solacing Murari Gupta, Gauranga happily returned to his house. Apanagare Harashita. Harsh, he's very happy. Hena mate morari guptere anubhav ami ki balive vyakta tanhara prabhav. Such are the glories of Murari Gupta, Murari Gupta anubhav. What more, ami ki baliva? What more can I say? His glories are already known. Tanhara prabhav, his influence, his prabhav is well known. Nityananda Prabhu Mukhe Vaishnavera Tatya Kichu Kichu Shunilam Sabhara Mahatya. Vrindavan Das says, I have heard something of the Vaishnava's glories and characteristics from the mouth of Nityananda Prabhu. Janma Janma Nityananda Hao Morapati Janhara Prasade Hoila Chaitanjite Rati. May Lord Nityananda be my master, birth after birth, Janma Janma Morapati. My Pati, my Lord, my Master. By His mercy I have become attracted to Lord Chaitanya. Janhara Prasade Haile Chaitanyate Rati. Chaitanya, by His prasad I have developed Chaitanya Rati. Means attachment. Rati, Bhav. Chaitanya Rati, Chaitanya Bhav. Loving feelings, loving emotions. Love, Chaitanya Prem, Gauranga Prem. Gaura Prem, I've attained by the mercy of Nityananda. And this is the path to Gauranga Prem and Radha Govinda Prem, is the Kripapat, the mercy road, the road of mercy extended to the sincere, surrendered, pure-hearted servants of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Chaitanya Ki Jai. Raghunath Das Goswami is another example. He tried to attain the association of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. He was unsuccessful in several attempts. But finally, when he served Chinanda and Panihati and all the devotees in the Chiradhari Mahotsav, the Chip Rice Festival, Nityananda put his beautiful tender lotus feet, he placed them gingerly on the head of Raghunath Das, and then he became empowered and eligible to remove all the obstacles to attain Chaitanya Rati, attachment and love for Lord Chaitanya, and his continual association for 16 years non-stop. That's a big boon, that's a big blessing. Jaya Jaya Jagannatha Mishra Nandan Tora Nityananda Hao Mora Pranadan. All glories to the son of Jagannath Mishra. May your Nityananda, O Jagannath Nandan, O Shachi Nandan, Jagannath Nandan, O son of Jagannath Mishra, son of Shachi, may your Nityananda be my life and soul. Tora Nityananda Hao Mora, Tora Nityananda Mora Pranadan, Tora Nityananda Mora Pranadan. Your Tora, your Nityananda, he's your Nityananda, not mine. But give me that gift, that he becomes my pranadan, the wealth of my life. Mora prananatera jivana vishrambhar he bhara bharasa chite dhari nirantar. Vishrambhar is the life and soul of my beloved Lord Nityananda. I firmly maintain this conviction within my heart. Purport. With firm conviction, Vrindavan Das Thakur resolutely holds the lotus feet of Sri Guru Nityananda within his heart. His eternal object of worship is Sri Gaurasundara. Mora Prananatha Jivana Vishambhar. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Chanda Jan Vrindavana Dasa Tachu Pada Juge Ghan. Accepting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of the lotus feet. Thus ends the English translation of the Gaudiya Bhashya commentary and the translation of the Bengali verses of Madhya Kanda, chapter 20, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the glories of Mariguta. Sri Mariguti Mahima Ki Jai. Now it's chapter 21, which Gauranga chastises Devananda, who is this sannyasi we heard about, Nindak sannyasi. Now we'll hear about that. We heard a generic idea about a blasphemer, and now we'll meet one in person, right out of Gauralila. Text 1. Jaya Jaya Nityananda Prana Vishambhar Jaya Garadhara Pati Advaita Ishvar. All glories to Vishambhar, the life and soul of Nityananda. All glories to the Master of Gadadhar and the Lord of Advaita. Jaya Srinivasa Haridasa Priyankar, Jaya Gangadasa Vasu Devira Ishvar. All glories to he who is most dear to Shivas and Haridas, Priyankara. He's Priyankara. All glories to the Lord of Gangadas and Vasudev. He's Ishvara Vasudev. And Gangadas is teacher. Bhakta Goshti Sahitya. Goranga Jai Jai Shunile Chaitanya Kata. Bhakti Labyahai. All glories to Lord Goranga along with his associates. Bhakta Goshti Sahita. By hearing topics of Sri Chaitanya, Chaitanya Kata Shunile Bhakti Labyahai, one attains bhakti. One attains devotional service. Unless the worshipper, upasaka and upasya, the object of worship, and the process, sadhana, are combined together, the variegated pastimes of the Supreme Lord are not complete. In the absence of these three, there are no pastimes. There is non-variegatedness opposed to devotional service. Those who do not discuss the topics of Sri Chaitanya Dev, Chaitanya Katha, cannot realize the essential characteristics of bhakti. False pride overpowers them and drives them away from Bhagavan Bhaktan Bhakti. Text 4, Chapter 21. Henamate Navadvipe Prabhu Vishwambar Bihare Samhati Nityananda Garadhar. In this way, Vishwambar enjoyed his pastimes in Navadvip with Nityananda and Garadhar. 18. Prabhukare Nagara Brahman Charidike Jata Apta Bhagavatagan. One day, Mahaprabhu was wandering about Navadvip, Nagara Brahmana, surrounded by his intimate devotees, Charidike Jata, Vaishnavagan, Bhagavatagan, that group of worshippers of Bhagavan, and the group of worshippers of the Bhagavat. Charidike, in the four directions, they were wandering north, south, east. They were wandering here and there. Sarvabhoma Pita Visharada Maheshwar Tanhara Jhangale Gela Prabhu Vishwambar. While wandering, Lord Vishwambar went near the dam protecting the house of Visharad Maheshwar, the father of Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya. Now, there was some dam protecting that area of the town from Ganga flooding. Shekhane Devananda Pandit Teravas Parama Shushanta Vipramoksha Abhilash. So now we hear something. In that particular place, in Navadvip, it's actually in Koladvip, the island of Koladvip, and there's a Gaudimath, Devananda Gaudimath there. And it's just this is describing something. Now we're hearing about the hero and the anti-hero, or the setting is being described. Where is it? Where is this pastime taking? Who is in this pastime? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Where? It's in Koladvip and Navadvip. And who is it involved? Well, they're introducing one of the main characters here, Devananda. And who is he? What are his characteristics? Oh, he's a pundit. And he's Paramashushant. He's extremely peaceful. Self-control. He's a vipra. He's a Brahmin. Moksha Bilash. The only thing he desires is moksha. He's not interested in grihamedi life or sense enjoyment. He's living a very controlled life. We'll hear these tapasvi and celibate, lifelong celibate. So this is described. Gyanavanta tapasvi ajanma udasin Bhagavata padai tatapi bhaktahin. So this is a very illustrious character. He's a vipra. He only desires liberation. He's extremely parama sushant. He's a pundit. He's intelligent. Gyanavan. Tapasvi. He's austere. Ajanma udasina. He's neutral since birth. Bhagavat pada. Padaya. He was teaching Bhagavat But there was, so these are all the good qualities, wonderful things he was exhibiting. But bhaktihina means he was devoid of devotion, which is the essential point. Because the Bhagavatam is all about devotion. It's very difficult to speak the Bhagavatam if you're not a devotee. Bhagavate maha adyapak loke gosh marmarta na janena bhaktihina dosh jani bara yogyata achai kichutan kon aparare nai krishna se praman. People respected, people in Navadvip and Kaladvip, they respected Devananda Pandit as a great teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maha adyapak. Adhyapak means teacher. Bhagavat Maha Adhyapak. Lok Goshe. Lok means all the people. Goshe, it was their view. They would speak. Gosh, their words, their statements. They believed and they even said, oh, he's very learned. He's Adhyapak. He's a great teacher of the Bhagavatam. Marma Arta Na Janena Bhakti Hina Dosh. But there was one dosh. He was devoid of devotion, therefore he did not know the marma arta. Marma art means the inside meaning, marma art, the essential meaning. He didn't understand the confidential purport of the Bhagavatam. Even though he had some qualification to understand the Bhagavatam, Janibara Yogyata, he was unable because of some offense that only Krishna knew about. That's interesting. Kon aparadi nahi. There was some offense, but Krishna knew. Or in the purport, ordinary people respected Devananda as an authority on Bhagavat, but he lacked an inclination towards Krishna's seva, so therefore he had no qualification to understand the purport of Bhagavat. Actually, every living entity is a Vaishnav, Jiva Dharma. So being a living entity, Devananda Pandit also had the qualification to actually understand the marma art, the confidential meaning of Bhagavat. But that understanding was dormant in him. He committed an offense out of ignorance. That is why his qualification to understand was absent at that time. Krishna is the super soul in the heart of the living entity. Therefore, Krishna alone, not short-sighted living entities, know for what offense Devananda had committed an offense, despite teaching and studying Bhagavat. Text 11, chapter 21. Daive Prabhu Bhakta Sangha Se Pate Jai Jekanete Tana Vyakya Shuni Bhare Pai. By providence, Mahaprabhu and the Bhakta Sangha, before us, Vaishnav Gan, Bhaktagan. By providence, Mahaprabhu and his devotees went on the same road, and where they heard the recitation, Shunibhari, Vyakya Shunibhari, Vyakya. They heard his Vyakya, his recitation. Sarva Bhutta Ridaya Janaye Sarva Tattva Nashuneye Vyakya Bhakti Jogarer Mahatva. Being situated in the hearts of all living entities, Sarva Bhutta Ridai, Mahaprabhu knows everything. Janaye Sarva Tattva. He knows all the truths. He knows all the tattvas. However, in that Vyakya, he did not hear the glories of bhakti, sitting in the hearts of all living entities. Sri Gaurahari is aware of everything. Gaurasundara is fully aware of the insignificance of processes like Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Gyan Yoga, and Raj Yoga. And in order to spread the glories of bhakti yoga in this world and to bestow the highest benediction on the living entities, Mahaprabhu revealed these topics. Mahaprabhu never approved of any topics that did not glorify bhakti. Text 13. Kope bhale prabhu bheta ki artha vakane bhagavata artha kona janme o na jani. Mahaprabhu became angry. What kind of explanation is this fellow giving? He has never understood the meaning of Bhagavatam in any of his lifetimes. Purport, Siddhanta Saraswati. Bhagavat art. Kaun janmi ona jani. And what birth? He never understood the Bhagavat art, the actual wealth and essence and meaning of the Bhagavat. Purport. A Mahabhagavat possesses 26 transcendental qualities of a devotee. Among them, the Srup Lakshana of a Mahabhagavat or any devotee. What is the Srup Lakshana, the main characteristic of a devotee? The principal characteristic is surrender to Krishna. These 26 transcendental qualities are present in Krishna and his devotees. That is why in foolish people's concept of what is averse to bhakti, the display of anger in the form of instructions that cut apart material desires to counteract the living entity's unfavorable desires is called anger. The attitude displayed by a person full of anarthas when his material desires are unfulfilled is extremely abominable. So in other words, spiritualists or devotees or gurus like Lord Chaitanya, sometimes they become angry to instruct their wayward disciples or to correct them or modify their errant behavior or to rectify their misconceptions. It seems to be they're angry and they're hot-headed, but they're not. They're in full control of their senses. They're simply acting accordingly to correct their students. But the materialist, he becomes angry when he's frustrated. His frustration or desire leads to anger, contemplation, attachment, lust. Then when lust is unfulfilled, what is this? Go to hell, go to Vrindavan. Just get out of here. And people get angry. But that's different, that's material anger. And this is abominable. In this pastime, Gaura Sundara manifested anger to reveal that there can never be any fault in the attitude devotees of the Lord display for the benefit of people who are averse to the service of the Lord. And sometimes devotees show anger against the non-devotees or the blasphemers. Lord Chaitanya is showing anger against Devananda because he's a nindak. Text 14. E betara bhagavate ko nadikar granta rupe bhagavata krishnavatar. Mahaprabhu is continuing his lambasting of this bogus pundit, Devananda. What qualification does this fellow have? What adhikar does he have to speak on Bhagavat? Granta rupe bhagavat krishnavatar. Do you know what this Bhagavatam is? Granta rupe. This grant. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Aki. Jai. The Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna in the form of a book. Granta Rup, in the form of a grant, a book, Bhagavat Krishna. The Granta Rup Bhagavat is Krishnavatara. Betara, a Betara. This is a very heavy word in Bengali. We don't know Bengali, but very heavy word that Lord Chaitanya is using. He says, you stupid nincompoop. Who is this stupid nincompoop? I'll try to spell that. I don't know how to spell, but that's an English word. This stupid nincompoop is a betara bhagavat. A betara means this insignificant, ignorant person. Who does he think he is? As a child in ignorance displays foolishness before his father. And as a father or an instructor addresses ignorant people or children as fools, the word, the address or the phrase beta reveals such a proper mood. Like the father that he is, the father of all living entities, Lord Chaitanya is saying, this stupid person, insignificant fool. So persons who cannot enter the purport of Bhagavatam, simply speaking the words, because they don't have any bhakti, they cannot actually manifest. He says, when the topics of Bhagavatam, which is related to Krishna, enter the ear, Krishna directly manifests in the heart. Then contaminations in the form of material topics are destroyed. It's very interesting. Very interesting. He's talking about the power of Bhagavad Katha. It's Granta Rupe Bhagavata Krishna Avatar in the Tika in text 14, chapter 21. He's about to mention your Madhu and Kaitab. Somehow at the beginning of creation, when Brahma was hearing Vedic knowledge and speaking it, these two demons manifest and they entered his ear and they stole the words. They stole the knowledge and ran away with it. There was no books, of course. They didn't steal any. There wasn't any books. It was just Shabda Brahman. And somehow these demons, Madhu and Kaitab, they grabbed that and they stole the Vedas, and Brahma became bewildered. He temporarily lost his knowledge and he appealed to Vishnu, to Krishna. And Krishna came and he pursued those demons and they killed them. They entered into the head. They entered into the ears of Brahma and stole the knowledge. So that happens with us also. Demons enter our ears and steal our knowledge. And we forget about Krishna, we forget about Guru, we forget our identity and act like a demon, act like a stupid, fall down, nonsense behavior, illicit activities, non-devotional pursuits. So Krishna is known as Madhusudana, the killer of the Madhu demon, Madhu and Kaitab. When we hear the Bhagavatam, then these material topics, the contaminations in the form of material topics, or the two demons, Madhu and Kaitab, who are like dirt within the ear, are destroyed. This is called Karna Veda Samskara. This is very interesting. In the Dasaveda Samskaras, in the Vedic purificatory rites, for elevating a human being to ultimately to liberation, and purifying his consciousness and detaching him. So part of the Dharma Shastras and Dharmic activities that lead one to art and ultimately kama and moksha, which is the goal of Varnashram Dharma. And the Dharma Shastras, they talk about these 10 samskaras, and one is piercing the ears. And apparently there's not only women, of course, we generally think of women piercing their ears. Was especially for men. Actually, the samskara was especially intended for men. Karna Veda Sanskara. Karna Veda, V-E-D-H-A. Karna means ear and Veda means piercing. Because there is a nerve inside the earlobe which connects to the memory. So these are some of the secrets of the trade of the Brahmins. At a particular age, they perform some fire yagya and call on some Brahmins and they worship Saraswati and the goddess of learning and all these things. And then at the right nakshatra and the right time and auspicious Mangala Titi, then they pierce the child's ear and put some gold ring there, some circle there, some gold. Because gold is also very good for heart and health and memory, that vibration, that energy, that chemical mixing in the body by contacting the skin. But especially that point of the ear, we have this acupuncture and acupressure and all these sensitive points and marma points and chi and all these things in the body, all these subtle points. So that point is related to memory and functions of memory. So to remember God, Ante Narayana Smriti, at the time of death, one has to cultivate intense memory of God throughout his life. So therefore, Shastra Swadhyaya, studying of Shastra, is part of the life of any Vedic person, of any Aryan walking the path of spiritual development or proper cultured human life. He will regularly study the Shastra Adhyaya or Swadhyaya, study Bhagavatam and Gita and Upanishads and Shruti so he can perfect his life and become attached to God and detached from this material world. So it helps if he can remember everything he's heard. We must have heard the term Shruti Dhara. Dhara means to hold, contain, to hold, to keep within oneself, Shruti, whatever you've heard. So piercing the ear helps that. It's a physical arrangement. And ultimately it's the mercy of God. Memory comes from Krishna. Sarvasya chahamriti sannivishto matasmatir gyanam apohanam cha. Vidascha saverham evya vedyo vedantakrit vedavide evacham. By the mercy of Guru, one remembers Krishna. Yasya prasada nagatikatopi. Yasya prasadam, yasya prasadam nagati katopi. So by the mercy of Guru, one can remember Krishna. When one remembers Krishna, then Krishna gives him memory. because from Krishna comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. It's a very interesting arrangement or description. He's comparing Bhaktisanta Saraswati in his very, very eloquent and unique illumination on this verse 14 from chapter 21 of Chaitanya Bhagavat. This is his Bhagavat commentary, his commentary in the Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat is the same as Srimad Bhagavatam. In his commentary, he's explaining about this in a very interesting explanation of the internal meaning of this Karnaveda Sanskara. Removing the dirt from within the ear, the dirt of material topics, the contamination of Gramyakata. Gramyakata means talks about cricket, talks about politics, talks about family and relativities, and this one said, and that one said, and my mother said, and my mother-in-law, and sports and politics and economics and business and all these village mundane talks are contaminations for the ear and contaminations for the heart and consciousness. They're like two demons that enter inside and steal true knowledge and steal true Veda, understanding of Krishna. So this, he says that, this is so wonderful. When one hears Bhagavad Gita, Tavakatamritam Tapta Jivanam, then Krishna directly manifests in the heart. After that, the contaminations in the form of material topics, Gramikata, which are also analogous or compared to the two demons, Madhu and Kaita, who are like dirt within the ear, sullying and contaminating the consciousness, they are immediately destroyed by that Bhagavad Gita Shravan. This is called Karnaveda Samskara. This is very interesting. Don't pierce your ears and put a gold ring there, or sometimes the South Indian Brahmins put a sandalwood pin. You put a little sandalwood pin in there. Of course, sandalwood's hard to find nowadays. You see a little plug they put in their ear. Sometimes it's quite fashionable now. Many people are piercing their ears, and as a fashion, I don't know if they're remembering Krishna or just thinking of their bodies. Probably just remembering their bodies and thinking of their other people's bodies, or using their increased memory to conceive of how to meet another body and enjoy and exploit another body. It's about all they're doing with their increase, enhancing their brain power by piercing their ear. Is simply enhancing their field of enjoyment and forgetting Krishna rather than using the samskara to remember Krishna, Karnaveda samskara. So he says, Bhaktisiddhanta says, this is the samskara, this is the internal meaning. What you want to have the samskara, then upanayanam, receive initiation from Guru, sit next to him and hear upasanam. Upasanam, sit near the Guru and do Bhagavat upasanam. Upasanam, sit near the Guru, upasanam, near the Guru, and do Bhagavat upasanam, means to sit near the Guru and sit near the Bhagavat and worship Bhagavan and worship the Bhagavatam. It's called Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga, to hear the Bhagavatam in association with advanced devotees. Actually, this is a very beautiful illumination that our Param Guru is giving us about what is the true meaning of Veda, Karna Veda Sanskara. The purificatory process of piercing the ears. Well, every pious religious Indian, Hindu, he does that. Especially for girls, they pierce their ears, but generally boys also. And definitely for Brahmins, those are born in Brahmin families, it's a must. It's one of the required sanskaras. But he's giving a new twist, a new definition to it. You don't have to be a Brahmin to undergo the sanskara. You don't have to be even a member of the Aryan race. You simply have to have two ears. Do you have two ears? I think so. Do you have... And you may not even have earlobes. A lot of people from the West that are kind of questionable backgrounds, they don't even have earlobes. Their ears just kind of tuck right into their head. There's nothing hanging there. And they say that's the characteristic of Rakshash. There's nothing hanging there. And then Brahmins have these huge, you know, Brahmins usually have large ears to begin with, and large fleshy and long ears, and then they have really long earlobes. So lots of earlobe to pierce there. So this samskara that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying is open for everyone, whether you're Aryan or non-Aryan or Gnostic or anyone, Pashandi. If you have two ears, you can pierce your ears with the Bhagavad Gita. Let the transcendental sound vibration of Bhagavad Gita pierce your ears and enter in the core of your heart. And by that, that's really purificatory process, Cheto Dharvana Marjanam, because the consciousness will become thoroughly purified of material attachment, and one will develop love for Krishna and go back to the spiritual world. So he says, this is the Karnaveda Samskara, to hear Harikata, which will destroy the demons of Madho and Kaita, which are contamination or dirt within the ear, and then Krishna will take birth in one's heart, Krishna Janmotsav. If we accept the material covering on our spiritual ears, then words related to material enjoyment will agitate our hearts. Subject matters not related to Krishna become our desired goal. But when pure, uncontaminated living entities properly hear the Bhagavatam, then the chanting of spiritual names, the hearing of spiritual forms, the hearing of spiritual qualities, and the hearing of the glories of spiritual associates, and the hearing of topics regarding spiritual pastimes manifests within their hearts. So this is Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vridyantakshtoya Badrani Virunoti Saritsatam. The Bhagavad itself has a verse about the purifying effect of Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. When one hears the topics of Krishna from the Bhagavad, then Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is great Punya. Such Kirtana is Shravana. Hearing this is so purifying that heart becomes purified. Krishna from within the heart is Paramatma. He personally cleanses the heart and establishes his own murti there for the devotee to see and hear. And then, by the cleansing effect of Bhagavad Gita, one will experience the Nam Rup Guna and Leela of Krishna directly. That's what he's saying here. Then, such a devotee whose heart has become thoroughly purified by Bhagavad Gita, he will realize that his heart is non-different from Vrindavan. That is where Krishna Chandra resides. So this is the most beautiful and inspiring purport, glorifying the effect of Bhagavad Shravan. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam. This is the first Lima Bhakti, and this is the Panchanga Bhakti described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. He says that any one of these five activities can quickly Premodaya, Bhavodaya, Bhav and Prem. Krishna Prem will arise in the heart simply by hearing the Bhagavat attentively with an open heart from advanced devotees. So how that happens is described here very nicely in chapter 21, text 14, by Bhakti Santa Saraswati. So we'll start text 15 tomorrow. Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki.